you have your Bible this evening, if you'll turn with me to the book of John in the 9th chapter, I want to read a verse with you from John chapter 9. And then we'll be turning in our Bibles to the book of Acts in the 9th chapter for the majority of our study. In the book of John in the 9th chapter, I want to read with you verse 25. John 9, verse 25. He answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." If you have your Bible, underscore that, "I was blind, now I see." Then if you have your New Testament, if you'll turn with me to the book of Acts and the 9th chapter. And when we come to the book of Acts and the 9th chapter, I want to begin reading with you at verse 2. Or verse 1 to get the thought. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Is it hard for you to kick against the goads?" So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate and drank. In our text, we read of two men that were blind. Both, I want you to identify, physically and spiritually. Then we observe that through the power of God, each man received physical sight as well as spiritual sight. And for just a few moments of our time, in a brief manner, I want to talk to you about the thought that though I was blind, now I see. And I recognize that Paul and the blind man from John 9 had some things in common. But for our period of time, I want to address this man identified as Paul. The first thing I want us to look at when we examine this man named Saul, or by his Roman name Paul, is the fact that he was a great Jewish scholar. If you take your New Testament and look in the Galatian letter and the first chapter, you'll find that it says in verse 14 that Paul had advanced in Judaism. Paul said, "I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers." Here was a young man who was an up-and-coming scholar. He was well-known and well-respected in that day and time. You remember that in Acts 22 and verse 3, he said he had sit at the feet of Gamaliel. So here was a man that would be identified as a scholar and a zealous man, wanting the people to keep the law of Moses. So when he heard about this Jesus and about this way, this church, he became angry, thinking they were doing away with the religion of his forefathers. And so you'll find that he consented to the death of Christians because in his mind they were breaking the law of Moses. So he was spiritually blind. He was blind to who Christ was. He was blind to the truth. He was blind to the church. And out of his blindness, he sought to destroy the church. In Galatians 1 and verse 13, he said, "You had heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." And when we go back to the book of Acts in the 9th chapter, he was breathing out threats and murder against the Christians, against the disciples. So here was a man that was spiritually blind. But then if you take your Bible, notice what happens to that man in Acts 9. As he is on the road to Damascus, he becomes physically blind. That matches his spiritual condition. In your Bible in Acts 9, you remember when the light shone about him from heaven, that the Bible says Saul fell, and Saul noticed the light. And when he fell to the ground, he had some questions he had to answer. Look at the first question Jesus asked him. Jesus asked him in verse 4, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now observe how he answers that question carefully. Look, if you will, in verse 5. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" I like his response. Now he didn't know at this time, but he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And then look at what Jesus' reply is. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Now, Paul could have said, "Oh no, I'm persecuting these people that follow you." But Jesus said, "You're persecuting my people, you're persecuting me." And then he said, "It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Then notice a question that Paul has for Jesus. He says, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Now, a lot of religious groups would say that Jesus looked down and said, "Nothing, you're saved already." That's not what Jesus said. Notice what Jesus said to him. Jesus said, "You arise and you go to the city, and it will be told what you must do." A lot of people say he was saved on the Damascus Road. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says Jesus instructed that man to go that somebody would preach to him. Jesus had an instrument in Ananias who would preach to him. Now then, notice if you will in your Bible in the book of Acts and the 9th chapter, 3 days he is without sight and he neither eats nor drinks. And here the man is spending his time in prayer. And now his eyes are beginning to be opened spiritually. He's beginning to have his eyes open to the truth. In those dark hours, he is again getting acquainted with the light of the world. Who is Jesus Christ? Remember, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And Jesus came to be the light to all people. So here Paul, while he is blind, is beginning to open his eyes spiritually. But then notice in your Bible, in the book of Acts and the 9th chapter, Ananias comes and tells Saul what he must do. And in verse 18, you'll see that when Saul was there and Ananias is there, that Ananias puts his hands on his, and something like scales fell from his eyes. He at once received his sight. And then the scripture says, he arose and was baptized. I like that. I want you to note that when Jesus told him to arise and go to the city, he did it. And when Ananias told him to arise and be baptized, he did it. He didn't question it. He went back and said, "If this is from God, I'll do it." Now then, I want you to think about something else. I want you to think about that when Paul received his sight back, he could now see clearer than ever before. Oh, I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. I want you to take note that immediately after that man had been immersed into Christ, he went out, it says in verse 20, and preached the Christ. Look at that. In verse 20, immediately. I want you to see the zeal of that man. The zeal that he had at one time to destroy the church is now transferred over. He wants to grow the church. He wants others to hear about this Christ that he knows about. He wants their eyes to be opened spiritually to the light of the world. They've been walking in spiritual blindness. They've been murmuring around in darkness. And he said, "You need light." And then he preached the Christ, that he is the Son of God. And look at the response of the people in verse 21. They were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on the name, this name, Jesus in Jerusalem? And he came here for this purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" But notice Saul increased all the more in strength. I want you to think about, my friend, that his eyes were open to who Jesus was, and he wanted other people's eyes to be open. Then I want you to note, my friend, in verse 23, the response to his preaching. The Jews did not like the fact Paul was converted. You would think they would listen to Paul, who once was just like them, wanting to destroy Christians. But something happened, he changed. But in verse 23, the Jews plotted to kill him. They didn't want him preaching and teaching this Christ. And you'll find in verse 25 that the disciples took him by night and led him down through the wall in a large basket. Why? They were watching the gates for him so they could kill him. Have you ever thought, my friend, here was a man, though, that would not be deterred? Have you ever thought that he continued to want to preach God? He wanted to preach Christ. Why? Spiritually, his eyes had been opened. He now sees the Christ. He now sees the truth. He now sees what the church is. And he was a man who would spend the rest of his life preaching Christ. But then if you take your Bible, look, if you will, verse 26. In verse 26, notice he goes back to Jerusalem. And there he's going to try to join with the disciples, but they're afraid of him. But have you ever thought about what he saw leaving Damascus and heading back to Jerusalem? When we were in Israel, we were down by the Syrian border. And they said, over this way, about 13 miles, is the city of Damascus. And all I could think about is, over there, what's going on right now? Here you could look across and you could see the land where ISIS is, and there's a certain amount of fear in your heart. But then I started thinking, that's where Paul had gone. And now Paul's walking back to Jerusalem. And now he's walking back spiritually with his eyes open, physically with his eyes repaired. And when he comes back to the city of Jerusalem, can you imagine what it was like going back the Damascus Road? He'd went that way coming to arrest him. Now he's coming back arrested himself, convicted that Jesus is the Christ. And can you imagine what it was like when he came to the place where he stood and guarded the coats of those that stoned Stephen? How that must have pricked his heart to think how much at one time he hated Christianity and now he's a Christian. And then all the places he'd cast his vote to arrest and have Christians put to death. And if he looked out the side of the wall of Jerusalem, he could see that hill jutting up called Calvary. And to think that now he is a disciple of the one he at one time opposed. And then when he got back to Jerusalem, he would see the reactions of people when they would listen to preaching, and they reacted like he used to react. Rejecting the Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. I want to take that. I want us to think about three or four things, lesson church. First thing I need to put into my heart tonight, and what I want to think about this week is, I cannot see in darkness. Have you ever noticed throughout the Bible how many times darkness and light are contrasted? And it's interesting how John shows us in 1 John 1. 1 John 1 tells us that God is light. In 1 John 1:7 he says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." The only way I can see is if I walk in the light. If I walk in truth, if I follow in the footsteps of my Savior. But I want to tell you, there are a lot of people who are walking in darkness. Open your Bible, if you will, and look at what is said in the book of Ephesians in the 5th chapter. I think Ephesians 5 really puts some things into our study tonight. I want you to think about the light that hurts. Have you ever thought that the eyes of Saul hurt by the light? And I want you to think there are a lot of people tonight, they're walking in darkness. And the reason they don't want anything to do with Christians is because Christians are walking in light and the light hurts. You ever had the light turned on when you've been in darkness? It takes a moment to adjust your eyes. It hurts. And I'll tell you that we are living in a world of darkness, and anytime light comes, it takes people time to adjust. They don't want to adjust their eyes. Look in your Bible in Ephesians chapter 5. Look, if you will, at verse 11. He said, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are what? Exposed and made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You want to know why a lot of people don't want any part of Christianity? Light exposes the way they're living. And they ought to be ashamed. I'll tell you one thing that I'm shocked at in our day and time. Is there are people that have no shame anymore. People have forgotten how to blush. And I'll tell you, they parade every kind of immoral sin out in public. And I'll tell you something, it's a shame that we have to hide our children's eyes from walking in Walmart. But that's where we've become. But I'll tell you one thing. What they need is to see the light and let their sins be exposed. And I'll tell you something, I'm afraid Christians aren't doing much anymore. We're not letting our light shine and exposing those ungodly deeds. And notice what Paul said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but you expose it. How? By the life you live. Just by the light you put out, by the life you're living. But then I want you to look back, if you will, in the book of John in the third chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the third chapter, I want you to look at what Jesus had to say in verse 19. In John 3:19, he says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness. Why? Rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They prefer evil. But look at verse 20. Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. A lot of people don't want to hear preaching or don't want to come to a local church because they don't want to face the fact they're living in sin. But verse 21, he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they may be done in God. You know what we need in our day and time? We need to have light. What was it Jesus said in Matthew 5:16? He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. In a dark world, we need light. And what's needed in Shelbyville, Tennessee, the same thing needed in Nashville and Charlotte and everywhere else, light. But then I want to bring up the last thought. Have a notice when you do come to the light, there's a lot of things in the past that when you look back, it makes you cringe. Sometimes I'll get a cringe moment where I think of something I've said or done in the past, and it just bothers me. Sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll say, how could I have said that? How could I have done that? How could I have failed my Lord that way? But then I think about Paul. When he came back to the city of Jerusalem, he could have cringed, he could have just bemoaned all of his past, he could have wept at every spot, he could have said, I'm not worthy to preach, but I'll tell you what he did. He kept going. And when you really see the light, it will make you where you want to let it shine brightly everywhere. All I can do about the things of my past is ask my God to forgive me. And you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that God blots it out. Sometimes man won't forgive you. And sometimes we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. But I'm thankful God, when I repent, blots it out. And I'm thankful that though once I was blind, through His grace and mercy, now I see. I see who Christ is, what He's done. I see what His people are and who they are and what we should be. And I see the truth that He's given me. Have you ever stopped to just look at the Scripture and think about light and think about truth and think about what God has done so that we can spiritually see our need for Jesus. If tonight you've never been baptized, everything's been made ready where you can confess Jesus and be immersed.